Hello, my name is John Calladine, and welcome to this podcast on taxation aspects of church and religious workers. Suffice to say, this is a complex subject, very specialised. This podcast only attempts to address some of the issues involved and highlight grey areas. Probably it is worth pointing out that this whole subject does need to be reviewed by HM Revenue and Customs, as the world has moved on and circumstances changed. Many years ago, a minister of religion under the Taxes Act would be a Church of England minister, or perhaps a nonconformist, Baptist, Methodist, or perhaps part of an independent free church. Employed by the church as an office holder, paid a salary, and provided with tax-free living accommodation. The pay and rewards were often quite low. With a well-known phrase, pay them low, it keeps them humble. Historically, one of the reasons for providing a vicarage or manse, that is, living accommodation for the minister, was because the minister had left theological college with no money, unable to purchase their own property, and the sort of salaries being offered to them would never allow them to enter the property market. A property would need to be of suitable size, have a study, room for counselling, let alone room for the family. These ministers could not afford to rent such large properties, so the manse vicarage, as it was called, was provided. Ministers of religion are normally chargeable on employment income under Section 6 of the Income Tax Earnings and Pensions Act, ITEPA 2003, either as office holders or as employees. The provision of a property necessary for the performance of their duties would be a tax-free benefit, and there would be many different types of expenses that could be claimed as a deduction against the employment income for tax purposes. Hence the reason for separate specific tax pages within the standard income tax return. The type of expenses that could be claimed, if not reimbursed by the church, as costs incurred in the performance of their duties, would be books and magazines, conference costs, office equipment, and pastoral entertaining. Pastoral entertaining is an interesting term, relating to meals, coffee, biscuits, tea, etc., provided by the minister for his congregation. There is no way a secular worker could make these sorts of claims. The running of a motor vehicle for pastoral visits is quite legitimate, less any costs reimbursed back by the church. In addition, it's quite possible for a minister of religion to claim as a deduction a salary paid to their spouse. Invariably, it is a joint calling to the ministry, and churches expect both husband and wife to participate in the ongoing work of the church, both pastoral and administration. We have, of course, moved a long way forward from those days when the wife would be expected to run the local women's fellowship, or whatever it was called, and make cups of tea. Whether the husband of a female minister would do likewise is interesting. I do not know. It is, of course, still a male-dominated profession, and it is not the purpose of this podcast to enter into the theological debate on this. However, the spouse would be seen to support in many pastoral areas in visiting, advising, and counselling. To encourage ministers to provide for their retirement in relation to property, many churches encourage their minister to purchase their own property. There is then what is called the manse leaseback scheme, which is operated, whereby the church leased the property from the minister and then let it back to him for the better performance of his duties. The great advantage here is that the minister is receiving a market rent for his property, and of course he will be able to deduct mortgage interest and other costs from that rental income. What invariably happens, of course, is that the salary paid to the minister is reduced, not necessarily by a corresponding amount of the rent, so that at the end of the day, one, the church benefits by not having to pay employer's national insurance on the rent, two, the minister benefits by not having to pay employee's national insurance on the rent and obtains a reduced tax liability on the rental income because of the available deduction. A very advantageous scheme if utilized correctly. The church has developed in recent years, especially the growth of what is known as house churches and independent churches, many of whom look to the legislation for tax relief on the salaries paid to their pastors and leaders. They may not be called ministers of religion, but could easily have the term elder, pastor, leader, etc. The legislation appears to apply to them equally, although this could easily be challenged. I now find that many other workers in the church, like youth workers, are trying to obtain the tax-free benefit of property provided for their living accommodation or a manse leaseback scheme. Advice given by the mainline church denominations is that as long as the youth worker is part of the ministerial team with pastoral and spiritual responsibilities, then they can make such claims. This brings me to the issue of employment. Historically, the courts tend to regard clergy, and certainly clergy of the Church of England, as office holders rather than as employees. The status of these ministers of religion being regulated by the internal regulations of the denomination concerned. We are now entering into areas of complex employment law, where clergy are office holders, that their work is a calling of a vocational and spiritual nature, not subject to contractual rights between parties. There was one particular court case, Parfit, which took the view that the concept of a minister as a person called by God, a servant of God, and a pastor to the local church to be the essential relationship and not any contractual arrangement with the church itself. However, as with everything in the employment world, matters have moved on, especially because of the EU. More particularly, cases like Moore make the employment position, certainly with free church ministers, less clear than previously thought. What is certainly believed now is that a minister can be an employee. The reason I touch on this is that, again, historically, there have been many self-employed ministers of religion. Again, this has grown in the last 20 years with the growth of free churches and house churches, where the tax benefits of self-employment were adopted, perhaps supported by the Parfit case. There are advantages both to the local church not having to pay national insurance, as well as to the minister being able to claim all sorts of expenses. It seems additionally, also, HM Revenue and Customs have not pursued these particular cases, or turned a blind eye. I'm aware of many cases where you find a big free church with its minister, stroke leader, stroke elder, whatever term you use, being self-employed, albeit solely working for the church. The church provides all the equipment, days off are allowed, no substitution clause, etc. You can imagine the reaction of a replacement pastor turning up. With the development of EU law so heavily biased in favour of the employee, many of these pastors and ministers of religion are beginning to realise there is much strength to be regarded as an employee with the protection that brings, and therefore subject to PAYE and national insurance. However, of course, they are still a minister of religion in tax law and can claim the various expenses, as I mentioned earlier. A further aspect to consider is the taxation of other Christian workers, that is, missionaries and evangelists. Many have heard the call to go and work in evangelistic work and pioneering missionary work, perhaps overseas, but not always, perhaps, for example, a difficult housing estate. Work is not necessarily connected to a missionary society. Work is by faith. In other words, they trust for the money to come in from various supporters and donators. Sometimes large Christian churches or charities may give money, but support often comes from individuals and family members. However, are these people subject to tax? Most certainly a grey area, and I have come across different views adopted by different accountants in dealing with the tax affairs of these workers. I have taken the view that if a Christian worker received a fee or whatever for a performance or a service rendered, whether it is leading worship, preaching at a Christian event, then this money is subject to tax. However, how do you treat free will donations? Again, I take the view if the money comes from family members, that is outside the scope of taxation. What about money through the post? Much comes from outside organisations like Stewardship Services, Charities Aid Foundation. Monies are given to those charities who claim gift day tax relief and then pass the money on to the nominated beneficiary. Should this money be taxed? I'm aware that Stewardship Services, for example, advise it should be. There is a case, certainly if the money is not gift aided, that it is a pure donation outside the scope of taxation. All very confusing. Therefore, we have at the moment employees subject to employment law and subject to tax and national insurance, office holders subject to PAYE and tax, not necessary employment law, self-employed workers, some paying tax and some not. What about the situation regarding property? Is it right that these ministers of religion should be getting tax-free benefit accommodation provided because it is in the furtherance of their duties? This could be debated quite clearly. Many modern churches provide office accommodation and counselling rooms within their church buildings. The homes of ministers of religion are used less now than many years ago. It is very dangerous to invite people into your home for counselling with all the modern litigation. Far better to do it within a church building with others present. As I said at the outset, the legislation and practice does need a tidy up, although I do not believe HMRC or the government would see this high on their priority list at the moment. Thank you for listening to this podcast.